Welcome to Let's Talk Dementia, the show where caregiving gets real. If you're a caregiver looking for expert advice and a lot of encouragement, you're in the right place. Our goal is for you to thrive, not just survive. Here is our host, best-selling author and certified dementia practitioner, Carol Howell.
Welcome to Let's Talk Dementia. I'm Carol Howell, your host. I am a certified dementia practitioner and Amazon best-selling author, and I'm also Dodo. Dodo is the name my granddaughter gave me, and she is 2 3/4 years old, and where Dodo came from, we have no clue, but I love being Dodo. But I am here today to talk with you about your Thanksgiving and what it should look like to make it easier for your loved one with dementia. And if it's easier for your loved one with dementia, it's going to be easier for you too. If you followed me for a while, there will not be anything mind-blowing in this episode as compared to previous years, but a lot of you are new, and may we just all need a little reminder. Well, the first thing I want you to think about is traveling. Are you taking your loved one on a plane to go a long distance, to stay at a house that they're not familiar with, to sleep in a bed that they're not familiar with, to wake up in the middle of the night and need to go pee-pee and not know where the bathroom is? As you can see, I am leading up to potential roadblocks in your happiness journey. And we don't want that to happen. And I speak from experience because I did this with my mom, and it was the last time she was ever on a plane. So you have to think about that traveling. Is it going to be a good experience? Had a similar conversation this week with a family who was thinking about taking their dad to a wedding, and I realized the family would want him to be there. I'm not so sure he's that aware to think, I would like to be at the wedding. I don't think that's actually happening for him. But getting there was going to be quite the challenge. And then being in a place he's not familiar with, and then going to a wedding where he's got to have certain behaviors, and that might be difficult. So we sometimes set ourselves and our loved ones up for failure. So let's not do that with our Thanksgiving and Christmas holidays especially. So have something small at your house or at someone's house that's close to you. If you can go to your daughter's house or your son's house, and you know, it's not all the people you know. You don't need to have it with all the people you know. Narrow it down so it's not so overwhelming. Make a point that in whatever home or location that you're having this wonderful gathering, that there's a quiet spot. You know, my husband and I live alone, and our house gets a little bit noisy when our granddaughter comes, but not much. So we're not used to having a lot of people in our house at one time. So when that happens and it gets busy, I'm really glad when everybody leaves so my house can be quiet again. So your loved one with dementia is probably spending the majority of their time in a more calm environment. Then we take them around the whole family. That's overwhelming. So they need a spot they can go to and sit down or lie down and listen to some calming music or watch the Andy Griffith Show or something that's going to be soothing for them. I want you to also, before you invite people over, even if they're family, to make sure the family or the friends attending understand the ability and disability that your loved one has. Maybe last year they knew who their grandchildren were, but this year they don't remember them. So we don't want those grandchildren to come into the room and go, "Hey, Grandpa, how are you?" Because Grandpa might not remember that he is a grandpa. He might be living in 1952, and he was not a grandpa then. And he thinks it's weird. People are coming in calling him Grandpa. Who are you? I am not your grandpa. So tell them to go in and say, "Hi, Frank, how are you? Boy, you look good. You got a tan. Tell me, how's life been going? What do you do every day? Are you still getting out on that tractor some? Is Grandma fixing you good food?" So approach them as if they are your friend. And actually, in that example I just gave you, I said Grandma, and that was a slip-up. We should have said Grandma's name and not Grandma. So during that conversation, depending on how the day is going for your person, they might say, "Oh, John, get over here and give me a hug. You're the cutest little grandbaby I ever did have." And so we know now that he knows that, hey, this is my grandson. But if he doesn't, and there's no clue given that they recognize the relationship, then you keep it on that informal level of using first name basis. And then also be aware that while one minute they may realize you are the grandson, and then you walk out the room and come back, they may not remember it again. So be prepared to go in and out of what your relationship is with them in a way that's calming for them. We don't want to bring stress. Now, when it comes time to eat, I hope you'll ask the blessing. If your person with dementia is someone who has prayed, that understands prayer, it's been a part of their life, they don't mind praying out loud, please ask them to give thanks at the table. I know they can't put their words together. They can't tell you they're hungry or their belly hurts or that they love you or they need to go pee. But that is on the left temporal lobe. That's where language comes from, and you lose it. Left, language, lose, all start with L. The right temporal lobe is where rhythm is, and it remains. And part of rhythm is prayer and poetry and art and dancing. Prayer. Prayer. These folks cannot put sentences together, but they can pray the most beautiful prayers you've ever heard. The very detailed prayers, those heartfelt prayers. Allow them the opportunity to do that. And not only is it good for them, it's good for you to be able to experience that. I will be posting on Facebook here in the next day or so a video of my mama praying. It's sound actually, there's no video there. At one point in her journey, my sisters and I would take turns to go over and kiss mama goodnight and tuck her in, and she would say her prayers. And I decided to record it one night. And my mama praying, I just listened to it the other day. I absolutely love it. I could tell she didn't have her dentures in because she sounded a little bit funny. But that is such an amazing thing. And if you ask them to ask the blessing and they do it, you slide your phone out and record it, because that's going to be something you will treasure, believe me. If you get your family together after the meal and you maybe have a sing-along, record that too. And I'm going to have a video, an actual video of my family doing that, the Thanksgiving before my mama passed away. Just wonderful things to look back on. Now, in regards to the actual meal, let's make sure that we are not eating on paper plates that have a design on the bottom of the plate, where the food goes. You know, sometimes you buy Thanksgiving plates and they have leaves or turkeys or something imprinted on the plate. That can be confusing for someone with dementia because they see something on the plate and they're trying to get it up and it's not going to come up. So let's make sure we don't do that. In fact, let's make sure we don't use a white plate. If you're like me, my dinnerware is white. I have Corelware. Sounds so wonderful to say dinnerware. Honey, it's Corelware and we use it every day. I don't own anything beyond that. But anyway, it's white, and that's the very thing you do not want to use with someone who has dementia. Because if you take a white plate and you put white turkey and you put mashed potatoes and you put a deviled egg, and that's going to have a little bit of yellow in it, but the egg's white, and a biscuit, you know, all those things, coleslaw, they're white, and they're going to get lost on a white plate. Whereas if you took a red plate or a green plate or a yellow plate and you added those foods, it really stands out. We also know that red will increase appetite. So if you have a red plate, and they may be the only one eating on a red plate, I don't have a problem with that. Serve their food on a red plate because it will spark their appetite. And the other thing you want to make sure you don't do is load their plate up with a little bit of everything, because that becomes very overwhelming. The food items start to run together in their vision, whether they do physically or not. It begins to look like a blob of food. So we just want to put a little bit of maybe three things on the plate. And when it's done, then give them some of the other things and see what they want. Of course, share everything with them, but it doesn't all have to go on the plate at the same time. And that will help with them being able to discern what's what in the food. So those are just a few tips that will make your Thanksgiving easier. And I hope you will take the idea of building some memories that you can record and have for later. My voice is going out on me today, so I think I'm going to tell you goodbye. And I hope you have a fabulous, fabulous Thanksgiving. Blessings and smiles.
Thanks for joining us today on Let's Talk Dementia. Remember, you don't have to walk this journey alone. Carol offers free phone consultation to support you, and she's available to help with the transition to assisted living or memory care. To learn more or to get in touch, visit letstalkdementia.org. Until next time, be kind to yourself and know that help is just a phone call away.